Let's read in the Gospel according to St. Luke in chapter 24, if you'll turn with me if you have your Bibles this morning. I want to read a few verses from this chapter about the account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And I'm thankful that we are here today to celebrate the resurrected Lord. And I did not come looking for a grave with a body in it. Thank God, because there is no body there. Jesus rose up from the grave, and he ain't been there since that resurrection day. And I praise the Lord for that truth and that reality this morning. Luke chapter 24, and in verse number 1, the word of the Lord says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. They remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest." I want to preach for a few moments this morning, and then we've got a good breakfast going and ready for us here in just a few moments. But I'll preach until breakfast time about the impact of an empty tomb. The impact of an empty tomb. Now, each of the four Gospels give us an account of the resurrection and how this handful of women found an empty tomb. We learn different details from each Gospel account. These help us to have an idea of the things that happened on that day, possibly the greatest day in the history of all of the world. All of these passages reflect for us the great impact of the empty tomb. For verse 2 said, "When they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." They went looking for the body, but there was no body there. Thank God for the impact of an empty tomb. And nothing in the world has ever impacted all of the world like the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus, that he was raised from the dead, that he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and gave for us hope for time and for eternity. I began stewing on this thing earlier in the week, and considering the impact of that empty tomb, began to muse upon this and meditate on it. And this morning we need to consider the impact it's had on society. The modern world largely ignores the resurrected Jesus, and pointy-headed academics mock at his resurrection, but they cannot deny the impact that he has made on society. In fact, the report 2020 State of Theology from Lifeway Research found that 66% of Americans believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're in a mess today, and our country's in a mess. But still, even in this fallen place, and even in this country that we're in that's in so much turmoil and so much sin, still 2/3 of Americans believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And 20% said they did not believe in it at all. And 14% is that crowd that always gives the same answer about every question they're ever asked about. Oh no. And that is where lots of folks are, is the I don't know crowd. But I'm glad I know this morning. I'm glad I have a hope in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even those who do not believe or do not know cannot deny the reality of this man named Jesus. There is more historical evidence for the existence of Jesus Christ than for any man who has ever lived. There's more historical evidence for the existence of Jesus than for the existence of Julius Caesar. Dr. James Allen wrote in 1926, "He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things usually associated with greatness.
He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he laid in a borrowed grave through a pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone at the time that he had written this. And today, Jesus is the central figure of the entire human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as that one solitary life, the Lord Jesus Christ. The impact on society, we gather this morning on Resurrection Sunday, April 17th, 2022, year of our Lord, to celebrate Him. Maybe you don't see the significance of that this morning, but the very date that I called out unto you is guided by the Lord Jesus Himself. Every atheist, every God denier, every doubting man, when he signs a letter, dates a contract, or simply reads a calendar, recognizes that our living Lord and who He really is. This is April 17th, year of our Lord, 2022. The geeks at Google may not believe in the resurrection, but their clocks declare that He's alive. Amen. Every cell phone, every computer, every calendar, every contract, and every school child in the world, when they write the date on their assignment, has declared He lives and He is Lord. Praise God and the Lamb forever. He's changed the whole world, even the way we keep time, even the way we keep calendars, even the way we keep dates. Everything around us declares He is Lord. He has impacted the empty tomb on society. Thank God for the impact of the empty tomb on sin. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you also have received and wherein you stand. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And if Christ be not risen, said verse 14, then our preaching is vain and your faith is also vain. And if Christ be not raised, in verse 17, your faith is vain and ye are yet in your sin. But thank God for His death that paid for my sin, and His burial that put away my sin, and His resurrection that gives me power over my sin. The impact of an empty tomb on sin. And today my sins are gone because Jesus lives. The impact of the resurrection on my soul. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The only eternal possession that man has is his soul. And it is the essence of his being. But because Jesus lives, I can live also. And my soul is going to live forever. I mean, friend, I may never live to be an old man in this world, but I'll live and never get old in the world yet to come. Because Jesus lives. The impact of an empty tomb on my sanctification. Ever since the Lord saved my soul, I wanted to be like Him, but I've done a poor job of it. But I'm glad He's still working on me. And He lives to make me more like unto Him. 1 Corinthians 1 and 30 says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We are living out what God has put in us. Without a living Savior, we could not live unto God. But since He lives in me, I can live for Him. Somebody said I'd get saved if I could just live it. If you'll get saved, then you can live it. If you won't get saved, you won't live it. But if you can get saved, if you'll trust in the Lord, then you can live it. He'll live through you and change your life. He'll sanctify you. Sanctify you wholly. Make you clean in the sight of the Lord. And eventually, someday, present us to the Lord without spot and without blemish, having finished that good work that he began in us. An empty tomb and the impact it has on my sanctification. Brother Randy ought to like this one. The empty tomb and the impact that it has on my steps. I mean, the way that I walk, the way that I live, the way that I conduct my life. The empty tomb is what makes the difference in that. Psalm 37:23 said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The Lord cannot order my steps if he's not alive. But since he lives, I know how to live. Since he lives, he teaches me how to walk with him, how to talk with him, how to fellowship with him, how to experience him, how to reflect well on him. I thank the Lord for that. I have a living Savior. And now I won't walk no more without Jesus. And I won't talk no more without Jesus. And I refuse to live one day as before. I'm glad I have someone to walk with me in the Lord Jesus Christ, a living and a risen Savior. Now, I got to on the way to church this morning. I told Sister Mary Ruth just before the service started, I was sitting over there writing up some new notes down. And I said, I do this just about every Sunday. She said, do what? I said, I think of extra stuff I should have put in the message when I was studying yesterday. And then I'm decorating up the sides of my notes. But I want to thank the Lord for, the impact of the empty tomb on my sorrow. You see, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, we sorrow not as them which have no hope. What I'm saying to you is because Jesus got up, one day we're all going to get up. He became the first fruits of the dead, the first one to rise, and that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead now abides in us, and then now we have sincere hope of the resurrection, and we know that one day we're going to rise. It won't be long. The graves are going to burst open. The saints of God are going to leave this old world. The saved who are alive are going to join them that have gotten a head start on us. And we're going to rise to be with Jesus. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. The only reason we have that hope is because Jesus is alive. Brother, if he's not alive, he can't resurrect anybody. He cannot save dead sinners, bring them out of the deadness and their trespasses and sin and make them alive unless he's alive. And he can't raise dead saints, bring them out of the grave and out of the tomb and resurrect them in a new life unless he's alive. But because he lives, we have the promise of tomorrow. Praise God, we have a promise that the empty tomb brings to us. And that is that as surely as what there was an empty tomb on that first resurrection day, there'll be a lot of empty tombs one of these days. And there's a whole lot of people going home. And by the signs of the times, it won't be very long. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be gone. There's a whole lot of people going home. It has an impact on our sorrow. And then I want to say this morning, the empty tomb has an impact on my sermon. Amen. What in the world would I preach about with a dead Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. What would I say unto you today without a resurrected Lord? I want to tell you, I wouldn't say anything. I would say nothing. If I had a dead Jesus, if I had a dead God, if I had a dead Lord, if I didn't believe in the resurrection, I wouldn't be preaching today. I wouldn't be at church today. I wouldn't be here singing the songs and delivering the sermon. I wouldn't have come this morning just for a breakfast casserole that Brother Randy said I had to make sure I got part of this morning. I wouldn't have come just to drink a cup of coffee and to sit around a table and talk about current events and whatever else. But I came this morning with a sermon in my heart and to the joy of God in my soul, because I have an empty tomb and a risen Savior and a living Lord. Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And I got something to preach about. I've got something to shout about. I can declare a risen Savior in this sermon, in every sermon. And the fact that I'm preaching in a sermon at all is because Jesus lives. Amen. It doesn't matter if I'm preaching on tithing, it's because Jesus lives. I mean, I wouldn't tithe to a dead God. If I'm preaching on getting out of sin, you can't do that without a risen Savior to bring you out. It doesn't matter what we're preaching. If I'm preaching the gospel at all, it's because I've got a risen Savior. Oh, hallelujah. And if I hadn't swallowed so much pollen and preached so much this week, I'd just shout about 10 minutes. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, the Lord is alive and well, and that's why I preach, that's why I shout, that's why I praise His holy name. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. The impact of an empty tomb, the impact of an empty tomb on our song. On our song, there's an impact of an empty tomb. I mean, sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I sing, He lives. He lives because He does. I sing because He lives. I can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone because I know He holds a future. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is a power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I mean, an empty tomb has an impact on my song. Hallelujah. Yes, then this morning, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. The empty tomb has an impact on the sunrise. The empty tomb has an impact on the sunrise. Some were telling me this week, they said, we talked about a sunrise service and said folks around where we were didn't have a clue what a sunrise service was. And listen, if Jesus wasn't alive, I wouldn't know what a sunrise service was. I mean, had it not been that there were some women that went very early in the morning on the first day of the week, bearing spices, looking to find the dead body of the Lord Jesus. They came with heavy hearts, worry in their soul, fear and apprehension. But praise God this morning, because they found an empty tomb. We come today with joy in our hearts, with peace in our souls, not looking for a dead body. Oh, praise God. I come early today with excitement in my heart because Jesus lives. At that first Easter morning, they were not anticipating good news. Their hearts were heavy. But today I come early with zeal and joy and excitement because I know that there is an empty tomb. Praise God and the Lamb forevermore. Well, the empty tomb says, because He lives, I can live also. The empty tomb says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Let's sing Because He Lives, and we'll get ready for the breakfast this morning. Hallelujah. Everybody stand with me if you would please. Because He lives. Because He lives. It's not in them books, but you just have to sing along with us is all I know. Most of you know it anyway, so we'll sing together Because He Lives. Because He Lives. It's not in that book either. Nope. I already looked a while ago. God sent His Son.
They call Him.
Sing that last verse now. Then one day I'll cross that river.
And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Amen.